This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
So this morning, to give us some insight into global markets and how they're performing, we have on the line with us Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Asia Pacific at Owanda. Thank you for joining us this morning, Jeffrey. So last night, US markets went into free fall, dropping to a 12-week low, while bond yields also plunged as the CDC warned of a COVID-19 outbreak in the US. Are we at a turning point in US markets after what seems to be a decade-long rally?
Hey, good morning. I guess the short answer to that one is it's too soon to say. We do have to realise that this is happening against the backdrop of a huge, huge rally in US equities. And so, in the greatest scheme of things, this pullback is actually quite small, even though we're talking 6% over 2 days, 7% over 4 days. So the answer there is that it really is just too soon. I think this is more of a wake-up call, an acceptance of reality that the world may not be faced with a V-shaped recovery, and that this coronavirus will have a greater impact on economic activity around the world than Wall Street was in either denial about or had previously priced in. So I do believe stocks will remain under pressure now. The longer term trend of whether stocks keep falling will really depend on how this disease spreads internationally.
And the sentiment seemed to be slightly different in Asia yesterday, where many of the Asian markets that staged a mini rebound after the very big sell-off on Monday. Can we assume here that perhaps some investors feel that the selling was overdone?
I think, again, we need to look back towards Monday morning, and it was, in fact, Asia that led the sell-off initially, and Europe and North America followed for a change. So what we saw yesterday morning was a small profit-taking bounce in US futures, and that actually stopped the rot, so to speak, and we saw what I would describe as, we call it in the markets, a dead cat bounce, a very small rally in the context of a sell-off. So I'm not expecting that same thing to happen again today. We saw Japan drop 3% yesterday because it was on holiday yesterday. It was playing catch-up. So I think I was saying yesterday that I felt that small rally was going to be temporary, and that's how it turned out to be. I'm not expecting Asia to have a great day at all. In fact, I expect them to follow the United States straight through the exit door today.
So, Jeffrey, where can we hide among all this volatility? Is it still gold?
In our houses. it's a tricky one. This one, we've seen gold pull back quite substantially, actually. But I think that's a reflection of the fast money chasing its tail and getting turned inside out on positioning from Monday morning. Gold's actually fallen all the way back to $1,634 an ounce. And looking at it at these levels now, it looks like a lot of the fast money positioning's been taken out of the market. So gold actually does look quite a reasonable value at the moment. And so definitely that would be one place for investors to look to park our money. Certainly cash can never go wrong. And also, if you're looking at equities, the boring ones that act like bonds, utilities, power companies, water companies, et cetera, these sort of companies are the sort of sectors that investors usually head towards when things are looking a bit grim everywhere else.
And what about oil? Because crude oil has been on a downward trend, but do you see OPEC implementing any stabilizing measures? And if so, how effective might they be?
Yeah, I think OPEC have been playing the odds here. They were hoping that this whole thing would blow over and they wouldn't have to act, and they've been caught a bit flat-footed now. WTI is trading around $50 a barrel overnight. That's going to set alarm bells. Brent crude underneath $55 is also going to have them worried. I do believe now they do have a meeting in March, but I do believe they are going to have to do something. I do believe that we will see more production cuts across the OPEC Plus grouping, but really, against the backdrop of a slowing world economy potentially, it's going to be more of a stabilisation measure. It's not going to turn the oil markets around, and we're not going to see another huge rally in the oil markets because of their measures. It's really a measure that will keep the lights on, so to speak.
And locally also, the ringgit has created about 5% since the start of the year because of the political turmoil. The stock market as well has come under pressure. What's your view here?
Yeah, I just can't see too many positives out of this. This seems like a reoccurrence of the sort of identity politics, religious-based politics that we've seen. And it's all happened quite quickly. There's been some intrinsic pain points amongst the ruling politicians in Malaysia. I think this is going to be very negative for international investors, and I don't really see this resolving anytime soon either. I mean, we could talk for hours about whether, the people of Malaysia elected one government, but they potentially get completely the opposite government, etc. What it will do is reduce the appeal for international investors of Malaysia, and I think Malaysia is going to fall down the list of preferred destinations for investment flows for the foreseeable future, because I really can't see how this is going to resolve anytime soon. So investors don't like uncertainty, and Malaysia is providing plenty of it at the moment. So unfortunately, I don't see any value right now in either Malaysian equities or in the Malaysian ringgit itself.
Well, thank you very much for your input this morning, Jeffrey. And that was Jeffrey Hurley, Senior Market Analyst for the Asia Pacific at Owanda. And as he said, investors don't like uncertainty. And all this political uncertainty here in Malaysia is adding to the existing fears over COVID-19.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.